97.5 The Fanatic. Now, back to more of Tyrone Johnson.
Presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers Sportsbook is Philly's hometown sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Fanatic. Tyrone Johnson with you until noon. 610-632-0975. Word of the week is identity. And with all the controversy this week, I decided that we should define ourselves as Philadelphia fans. And on the line with me right now on the Comcast Business Hotline, Bounce Forward, is Natalie Eganoff, who's from Philadelphia herself and can help this process along. How are you today, Natalie?
Oh, good. Hi, happy Saturday.
Yes. All right. So I have a bunch of questions that I put on the internet that I want you to answer, and then we'll go from there. Bunch of polls.
Cool.
All right.
I'm ready.
All right. So of all the, quote, Philly foods, which one do you enjoy the most? The options are the hoagie, the cheesesteak, the soft pretzel, or water ice. Which one of those do you enjoy the most?
I stand the pretzel because I feel like it's the most accessible. You can eat it in a pinch, and you could get a pretzel anywhere in Philadelphia, and there's not a lot of effort involved.
All right,
cheese steaks can be messy. You know what I mean?
It absolutely is. All right, now last question number one, Natalie. Number two, the leader is cheesesteak, which we'll get to. We'll double back on that one in just a second. All right.
Okay.
Of our legendary Philly athletes, who's the greatest? The options are. Now, all these players have to be both in the Hall of Fame and won a title. You had to have both.
Okay, that's fair.
All right. So it was Wilt, Dr. J, Mike Smith, Bobby Clark.
God, this is a tough one. All right, I'm gonna say Bobby Clark, and my reasoning is because he has two.
Right. Well, see, we'll double back to that as well, Natalie. So we'll double back to that. All right. The next question: do you have to win a title to be considered a Philadelphia legend?
No.
All right.
No, because Brian Dawkins.
Right.
Brian Westbrook. You know, those guys.
All right. Now, which leads to the next question, Natalie.
Okay.
Which is, when you think about what actually matters in sports, who should we appreciate more? Brian Dawkins, who you just mentioned, or Malcolm Jenkins?
Oh, my God. Oh, it's not even noon yet. This is a sinker. Okay. God, that's a really tough one, Ty. I guess I'm still gonna go with Dawkins, just because I feel like his whole journey here and the way that the fan base embraced him, I have to think is a little. They feel like a little bit more.
That's a different question. I said who should? We know who we do appreciate more. It's Dawkins. Who should we appreciate more? So you have to take out what people think now. And think about where, if you were the queen of sports, who would you have us appreciate more? You're in charge in this particular case.
I think we should appreciate Malcolm Jenkins more, not only for, you know, never missing a snap, basically his entire career as an Eagle, being that leadership voice in the locker room, all the contributions he's made to the city of Philadelphia, really standing up, and not only just the city, but you know, how he represented the Eagles during the time he was here. If it were up to me, I would say Malcolm should be more appreciated.
And he won a title.
Yes, and he won a title. That too. That little fact too.
Yes, and the last question before we have to double back and dig into it a little bit more, because you grew up in Philly your entire life, and I'm trying to... all right, let's do the last question, and then we'll move on.
Okay.
Many say that blue collar is the most more important than anything in Philadelphia. There's people who have said that today on this very program. If that is true, which team do you love more, assuming you saw both, the 93 Phillies or the 08 Phillies?
I love the 08 Phillies. I was too little to really appreciate the 93 Phillies for what they were. I remember it. I remember my dad watching it, and I remember all the excitement around it. But for me, like, the 08 Phillies were everything. It was my first true Philadelphia moment of joy in my life.
And they actually won.
And they won. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And yet, as the voting goes, 28%, despite the fact knowing that they didn't win, 28% of people appreciate the 93 Phillies more, even though they didn't win the World Series.
That doesn't make much sense.
Well, and that's where this is the conversation I want to have with you, Natalie. You answered all those questions. So I'm going to take it from the top, and I'll allow you to respond to all of these because I'm trying to – I was saying that let's say an alien came down right now, Natalie. They come to your house in Fishtown, all right? And they say to you, if you don't define what a Philadelphian is, I'm going to blow up the planet Earth. So it's that the pressure is on you to define it. And only things that we have agreed on so far throughout this show is that blue collar – and that we're passionate. But that doesn't really tell us anything. So I want to go into the answers from the people and see if you and I can try to figure out what at least the people so far today truly define a Philadelphia fan. Is that fair?
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right. So one thing that has been consistent is the cheesesteak is running away with that poll. They have like 66% of the vote. Yet, we've had people call the station, call the Mike Missinelli Show, you can vouch for this, that say, I'm tired of when they show Philly, they show the cheesesteak. Yet when given a choice for our food, we pick the cheesesteak. So why should we be mad if Sunday night, Monday night, or Thursday night football shows the cheesesteak if we're picking the cheesesteak ourselves by a huge margin?
See, now, Ty, here's my theory. And here, this all ties back into your whole Philadelphia identity discussion that you're having today.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
There's some reason, and I myself am guilty of it, where I feel like what is that, like a dichotomy, right? So you're thinking, this is who I am, and this is what I do. So I'm blue collar, and the cheesesteak represents our city, and we're gritty, and we're hard workers. That's how we've identified ourselves for so long, right? So then when someone comes in and tells us, well, you know, but we're like, but that's not all who we are. But then when someone comes in and says, well, then when someone tries to identify us based on our stereotypes, then we get mad. And that's the Philadelphian complex. It's because we don't want to necessarily give somebody like, or let somebody else tell us who we are, which is fascinating.
It's fascinating because, and obviously the conversation stemmed from, we're not talking about the jersey anymore, but what should have just been a jersey rollout obviously turned into something much more. People cared more about the jersey rollout and what was said about the Sixers jersey than the Eagles game all week, and that's continued today. People are not up for Eagles Giants, but they care about how we're defined. Yet when given the opportunity to define ourselves, we end up saying a lot of the things that we don't want someone else to say, which is just fascinating to me.
Exactly, and I think it all, again, it ties back to all those years. I'm talking probably, even though we've had the Phillies, you know, in the early 80s, and they were good again in the 90s, but, you know, that stretch post, I think, 1975, where we were just a city that our teams weren't great, you know, which also isn't necessarily that true because like I said, we did have some championships sprinkled in there, but you know, our teams weren't great and all we wanted to do was win. And we always had this chip on our shoulder that, you know, New York is better and Chicago is better. And, you know, all the, of the major cities, Philly, for some reason was always like looked down upon. And it wasn't only over until the last 20 years when it really started to make this surgence, you know, not only nationally, but internationally. So I feel like, and it would talk about the jersey and all the controversy around it. I feel like maybe we need to like sit down and think about all of the other things that Philadelphia has to offer outside of those general four terms that, you know, passionate, gritty, blue collar, whatever. Like, we can still be those things and add additional stuff on top of it. We can also, you know, appreciate the arts and care about the environment and, you know, invest in different types of things in the city that I think would act, like, broaden our identity. But we have to be accepting of them first, and I feel like that's where the problem is.
I think that is part of the problem. And then when I asked I knew that Wilt Chamberlain probably would be considered the greatest of the athletes. So the order was Wilt, Dr. J, Smith, Clark. I thought it was ironic that the guy who won the most only got 5% of the vote. Now, some of it is because he's the old Wilt, even though he stopped playing in Philadelphia long before, his legend kept growing. Like, he's larger. Like, you don't even have to say Chamberlain. He's just Wilt. But the fact that Bob Clark won twice and gets 5% kind of says, we say that winning's most important. But it seems like between that and the amount of people that are latched onto the 93 Phillies, maybe as much as we say winning's the most important thing, maybe we don't truly believe it.
No, I totally agree with that, because we somehow pick and choose what we like and what we want to be the best, and it's not necessarily based on statistics. And I myself have been guilty of that before. You know, like, you look at a player and you think, like, even what those 2010 Flyers, like, or whenever Dan Carcillo, I was on the Carbomb train. I was like, yeah, Carbomb, was he actually a good hockey player?
No.
Probably not.
No.
But he was the one who took that identity that we like to shape ourselves around of, forced it down the fan's throat. He kind of embodied it. And then he was our guy, but actually there were a ton of skilled players around it. So I feel like it's all about finding a balance in the city. And we're so resistant to even let go or add to what is said about us, or allow other people to add what's said about us. And I think that that's a shortcoming of ours. And I've said this for years too. Like, I'm aware of it. I do it sometimes.
We're all guilty of it to a certain amount. Speaking of Natalie Eganoff from the Mike Missanelli Show, obviously on the Comcast Business Hotline, bounce forward. And so pushing forward, Natalie, I was talking about how, and I said it on the show and I brought it up again today, as much as we love AI, and we love AI here, and we should, the late Kobe Bryant, if we're taking truth serum, we would admit that he was better. And AI would admit that, too, because AI has no hater in him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yet, but when we obviously, we can claim AI, we can claim Kobe, because Kobe's born, like, you know, raised here, AI plays here. I'm saying the city can claim both. Yet, more people claim AI than Kobe. Now, obviously, Kobe's no longer with us. That changes the mentality. But definitely when he was living, a larger portion of people claimed AI than claimed Kobe. Don't we all? If we were looking at our sports teams and we were talking about the identities we want them to be going forward, wouldn't we want them to be more like, no disrespect to AI, wouldn't we want them to be more Kobe than AI, though, if we were being honest, if we wanted to win?
Oh, my God, 1,000%. I mean, actually, the Mamba mentality, I think, could actually be transferred to the blue-collar identity that we tout. Because what's more blue-collar than that hard work, dedication, slaving over, you know, your job and making sure that you're putting in, like, tireless hours? The results for Kobe and his Mamba mentality, and the results for most Philadelphians who do work blue-collar jobs, you know, it's night and day, because he's a multimillionaire and, you know, it's a lot of people in the city who work really, really hard for their money. However, it's once somebody passes that greatness, sometimes there's, like, haters here. That's also a fact. Like, the Philly has a lot of haters within itself, because if we see greatness, then we're like, well, they're not like us anymore. When it's like, well, actually having that Philadelphia mentality is what got them to where they were. Like, that's kind of what Kobe took it and ran with it to the highest point that you could run with it. And for some reason, we don't want to accept that. It's like because they actually made it. It's fascinating. I have so many thoughts on this. We could probably do a whole show on this, Ty.
Yeah, it's just something that I don't understand, but I'm hoping that we could get there to the point of a better understanding. Now, the last thing, the first caller today said that the people in Philly that are accountants, I just brought that job up because that's the ultimate white collar job. You're wearing a suit, you're doing numbers. Those people, even though you see how the city skyline has changed, the city has shifted. Obviously, manufacturing in Philly is not what it used to be. There is a tremendous amount of white collar jobs. And if those people work and live in the city, in my opinion, they're every bit as Philadelphian as the guys who do construction. No disrespect to anybody that works with their hands. I'm saying they don't automatically get to be more Philadelphian than a guy who does taxes if they live and work in the city.
Well, and that's what I mean about embracing everything that the city is now and not just narrowing it back to what it was in 1992. Say, for instance, when I remember the city going into, you only went into Center City for the parade and a couple other things because there was like three restaurants and, you know, not much to do.
Yeah, so I obviously we can talk a lot about this. Natalie, I want to thank you for your time today on this Saturday. Let's hope the Eagles show a different identity in the second half of the season.
They better. They better, Ty, for our sake, too.
Yes, for sure. Thank you. You enjoy the rest
of
your weekend.
Thanks, Ty. Have a good weekend. Bye.
You too. That was Natalie Eganoff from the Mike Missanelli Show on the Comcast Business Hotline Bounce Forward. We're trying to get to the identity of the Philadelphia sports fan. Like, what is it?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.